Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I was at the J.J. Watt Charity Classic on Saturday. It was great. It was just as I remember it from when it was here 5 years ago. It was last time it was at Minute Maid Park. This time it was back at its original home, Constellation Field in Sugar Land. The old guys pounded the young guys. 14-1, the final score.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that bad. This is like a Harlem Globetrotters type of night.
It was ugly. It was ugly. Everybody's in good spirits, though. You know, does not look like a lot of the current Texans spent a lot of time playing baseball or softball as a kid.
I saw Will Anderson in the batting cage, and it did not look like a really natural swing.
No.
Yeah. I feel like he is completely and totally focused on football. And it shows in his swing, which is, if anything, that's a badge of honor, I think.
I came away feeling really good about Will Anderson, the football player at the softball game.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said he handled it really well, though, right? As bad as he wasn't afraid to laugh at himself.
Could not have handled it better. Both privately down in the batting cages. A few of us got to go down there and watch some of the guys warm up in the underground batting cages down there.
Yeah.
And that's where we got our first look at Will Anderson, the softball player. And we said, boy, for a softball player, he makes a great defensive end.
Yeah.
And then he volunteered to be part of the home run derby. I'm assuming. They have 10 guys that were in the home run derby. I'm assuming if Will said, I don't really want to do that, they would have found somebody else to do it. I mean, it would have been easy to find somebody with a better baseball swing or softball swing than Will Anderson.
Yeah.
But he went ahead and did it, and it was exactly what we thought it would be after watching him take batting practice. And then when he got introduced to take his first at-bat in the real game, which came after the home run derby, he walked into the batter's box like the king of the place, man, raised his bat like it was a scepter, and stood and took in all the adulation. And I became an even bigger Will Anderson fan after that softball game and watching him struggle playing softball. And then at one point, Seth, he went out to right field, and I said to Brandon Scott, I said, that's probably a good place to put him because most of these guys, I think all of them are right-handed hitters on the Legends team. And It's very rare that somebody hits it to the opposite field in slow-pitch softball. It's mostly a pull sport. Sure enough, somebody hit a line drive out to Will Anderson in right field. And he played it as if it was about a 150-foot line drive. And that thing sure as hell sailed 200 feet over his head.
I could see in this game in particular, though, where you got a bunch of people who aren't softball players, I could see more opposite field hits because people are just trying to put the bat on the ball.
Maybe.
Because you don't want to strike out in slow pitch. Yep. So they might have just been trying to clink that thing and also at the same time take advantage of a weak right field.
Yeah, that could be too. Yeah, they had good enough guys on that Legends team who all looked like they played softball before, where if they just said to themselves, yeah, you know what? If John Weeks leaves it on the outside part of the plate, I'm just going to fire it over Will Anderson's head, you know, and mm-hmm. I'll just be running for days. Before we get to observations from the game itself, you're just getting in your car. You probably saw some headlines about it over the weekend. Maybe you haven't heard the audio yet, but here was J.J. Watt in response to a question from our Brandon Scott on leaving the door open to possibly playing this season.
How do you resist, J.J., all of the names that you listed and D'Amico? Obviously, you know D'Amico, haven't played with him. How do you, the competitor, you resist, like, the not being that far removed from playing? How do you resist the temptation?
Oh, I mean, I'm a very fortunate, lucky man. I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I mean, I told D'Amico last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. And he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training. But he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him. But I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
So you're saying if four defensive ends go down by week 12?
I very much don't want that to ever be the case. I hope that everybody stays extremely healthy and they dominate and they don't need any other bodies. And I just get to watch and enjoy from the couch.
It sets up such a comic book scenario, like where, you know, D'Amico and the police commissioner are trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? What do we do in this moment? And the commissioner looks at D'Amico and says, I think it's time.
Yeah.
And then they shine the J.J. Watt lamp up towards the sky.
A J.J. logo with the two J's forming a W up there, up in the sky. Yeah.
That's right. They pointed at whichever plumes of chemical fire smoke there is somewhere in the city.
Right.
And then go up against that.
Pointed out to Deer Park and the chemical plants. they got the big spotlight down there in the Port of Authority there. They're the Port Authority, and they're spraying it right up at the Deer Park steam coming out of the chemical plants. I love that.
So, why did the Texans not call J.J. last year when Jonathan Greenard and Will Anderson were both injured? Did they not really, really need him there?
I don't know. I don't think they were ever injured at the same time. Because Greenard missed like the last two or three games of the year. He got hurt in the Cleveland game and then missed the last two games of the year. Will Anderson was back by then, but kind of gimpy. Mm-hmm. He was back for the Tennessee game. So I think the only game where they both missed the game was most of the Cleveland game when Greenard went out like five snaps in or something like that. So
at that point, you figure, okay, and the push for the playoffs, even with one of those guys injured, but Will was playing when Greenard was also banged up. So they had health issues. So
Will was banged up. Well, I mean, Will was playing hurt down the stretch with the ankle.
Right, yeah. He only had 12 plays in that one in the Titans game where he had two sacks. I guess that's the question is, all right, how much worse does the scenario have to be? Or maybe it just wasn't that moment where it wasn't even clear that the Texans were going to make the playoffs. Maybe it wasn't right for JJ. But that was way more of a window open than I thought. Like, that answer is not the one I thought I would have gotten from JJ. I think that's why it made news.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's the other part of it, too, is, you know, does JJ genuinely – he obviously doesn't genuinely want to come back if – like, he doesn't have a burning desire to come back if it's only in case of emergency, break glass, that type of scenario. But there is a part of him that seems like he's at least prepared to do it.
Yeah. Given what the answer was, the question was clearly a great question by Brandon Scott, the way he put that. And you know what, Ben? We're doing Acknowledge Me in about 11 minutes. I want to acknowledge Brandon Scott right here.
Acknowledge me!
That was a really good way to put the question. Like, what, as opposed to, like, are you coming back?
How hard is it to resist the temptation?
Yeah.
How do you resist the temptation?
He got him talking, man. He really got him talking. I thought that was a great way to put it. I know Brandon kind of went in. Like, that was, we were talking before the press conference, and I think that was the big thing Brandon wanted to come away with, was some sort of, some sort of, not clarity, but I guess some sort of, you know, what JJ's thoughts were on playing football again.
Well, there's something about it, too, where I guess with JJ, he's old enough now that there's been a few times in his life where maybe he was open to something he never thought he'd be open to before.
Yeah.
You change your mind on things over time. And you can't ever predict exactly how you're going to feel. You know, if you'd asked him 3 years earlier if he was going to retire in 3 years, maybe he felt like no way in hell, but then he did. So I think when people ask you for a question about whether you're definitively never coming back, it's really hard to give an answer without, like, you don't take it at face value when a guy says, well, I'll never say never, because he's just leaving himself that out. Mm-hmm. So when Brandon asks a question that way, how do you resist the temptation? Then, you know, JJ ends up just offering up that it sounds like he thinks he's in good enough shape to come back and play.
Yeah.
But he also thinks that this is probably the last year that he's going to be staying in this kind of shape, which means...
Definitely.
Okay, if you're working out hard enough to go back and play football, that's not something you do just because it's fun and it feels great. You know, that's kind of... Those are miserable workouts. Those aren't the go out and ride a bike with your buddy for 1 hour so you can go in with your clunky little shoes into a coffee shop and then have coffee for 2 hours afterwards.
Couple texts here. JJ just needed a little attention. Somebody is texting in.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's a possibility, that he just wanted some attention?
Is it, okay, if that were the case, it does make sense. Like, if I were his agent, if I were his TV agent, I would say, hey, man, you know, every time you float this out there, it does keep your name out there and relevant,
yeah.
Which does help your broadcasting career,
yes.
And does help get other opportunities. So there is that. If you want to be completely cynical about it, then yes, there is that.
I would say the other tell... You pointed out one of them, that he openly acknowledged that he's been working out a certain kind of way the last couple of years to where he could come back and play. I think one that's been right under our nose the whole time, and I haven't heard either you or I bring it up, is that he is part-time with CBS again season. That he was, you know, so he wouldn't be, you know, when he's part-time, he's a supplemental player there. Like, they're not squeezing anybody from the regular studio show. He hasn't taken anybody's job at this point, right?
He hasn't taken anybody's job, and he also doesn't... He wouldn't feel like he's leaving them out in the lurch, necessarily, if you were to...
You got me 4 Sundays a year, whatever it is, right? You know, 5 Sundays, however many he does, you know?
Yeah. So that's... Boy, that's interesting, because that part of it, it might sound like no big deal, but yeah, if he... Like, I'm sure he was offered, if he wanted it full-time... employment with CBS.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was just probably dipping his toe in the water to see what he liked, if he liked it, all of that. And that this year, maybe he could have committed to being there every weekend, but he's not. That's the fact that he thinks, the fact that he says he's working out hard enough, or at least he implies he's working out hard enough to come back and play right now, but that has a shelf life on it. I'm guessing because he's getting sick of working out like that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's only going part time on CBS. It just, I feel like there's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, no, dude, I was thinking the same. You said 50-50 earlier, and I said, you're crazy, 50-50. I think I wrote in my Houston Press piece that I thought maybe 5% chance. But the more you and I workshop this thing and talk it through, I think they got to leave a locker for him, you know? Like, just leave locker. There's a reason why Danielle Hunter isn't wearing 99 right now, you know?
You think he still has his little nap bed back there in the locker room?
If he doesn't, I'm sure it's very easy to find a spot for it, you know? Maybe.
I wish they still had it.
They should have retired it.
Well, he's around the facility now, and then I wonder if he might still want to go back there and take a nap every now and then. Like, old man Watt comes out and tells everybody to keep it down.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to take a nap.
Or that'd be great.
He's going to get to be if he doesn't come back and play, he's going to get to be a real annoyance around the locker room.
Yes.
Okay? He's always there, like, taking advantage of the free laundry service when he's in town. He's bringing in in diapers to get washed. That's right, cloth diapers.
That's right. He's old school that way. All right, so I got a few observations on the softball game. I was there on Saturday. Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig. It was fun. We had a good time. It is one of, if not the best charity events in the city, the J.J. Watt Charity Classic. If you get a chance to go next year, assuming he's doing it, I would say go. Now, I would say this. If you're looking to do it next year, J.J., you might want to take it easy on the young guys if you're looking to do current Texans versus Texans legends again. Because we all love you, and they all love you, I'm sure. But nobody likes to spend a Saturday night getting their teeth kicked in 14-1 every year, you know?
Right. Yeah, or maybe, you know what? Maybe the Texans players themselves have to just go ahead and put a little preparation into this.
I don't need them preparing for a charity softball game. I need them preparing for... You do?
I need them to, A, be in the batting cages, and B, I'm guessing, Sean, that they... The rules of base running and everything probably weren't all that front and center. They're probably as bad as the Astros, like running the bases, but also knowing where to go with the ball defensively.
That's
were they as
the
bad
big
as
thing.
The Astros?
That's the big thing. Stephon Diggs was playing second base, and there were a few times where, like, there was a guy on base, grounder to shortstop. They flipped it to Stephon Diggs when there were less than 2 outs, and everybody's like, throw it to first.
Really?
You can get 2 outs on the same play.
So tag ups and everything were probably a nightmare, huh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, everything was a little disjointed. So I would say, appropriately, the only two out of the current Texans team that really had any clue what it looked like they were doing playing softball were the two guys that could have, by rule, played for JJ's Legends team, Case Keenum and John Weeks.
Oh, really?
Both current Texans that were former teammates of JJ back in the day. You know, they would have fit on either team. Case, I mean, Case is going to be the star of some beer league softball team someday at some point. Case is really, really good. He's really good.
Was he a pitcher in high school, I'm guessing?
Probably. Or shortstop. Yeah. They're all shortstops. I mentioned Will Anderson. He's a legend. He's really bad at swinging a baseball bat. He'd be the first to admit it. And yet he volunteered to do the home run derby. And when he was introduced for his first at-bat, acted like they were introducing the king of the place. Had his bat held up like a scepter. He was tremendous. Notable absences who were advertised in the collateral as attending this. These were all from the current Texans team. C.J. Stroud, which boy, he's on that Asian tour right now.
He's over hobnobbing with the commies.
Yeah.
Or he was. Then he was in Japan this last weekend.
He was in China,
then Japan.
Yep.
With Micah Parsons was sumo wrestling, sumo wrestler.
Yep.
It didn't look like C.J. was. C.J. was wearing the... Wow. CJ was shirtless and doing some drills. I didn't see him actually try to sumo wrestle a sumo wrestler.
No, he was mostly talking trash to Micah Parsons about how bad he was at sumo wrestling, which is what they've been doing the whole trip, talking trash to each other. So CJ, that's an acceptable. I have a hard time believing that the two sides didn't kind of see that conflict in the schedule because CJ was on the collateral. So he's over in Japan. Tank Dell missed the game. Understandable. A week ago, he got shot. So that one, he gets a pass.
Larry, I guess. Could have come out and, I don't know, gone around. It would have been fun. It would have been fun for him to go out there like with one of those little kneeling.
I hope he doesn't need one of those. Ugh.
Buggies that they use.
Hit
one-handed and then wheel down the first baseline.
I'm going to give Tank a pass. Laremy Tunsil was not there. No indication as to why.
Well, he was injured.
Who, Laremy?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, the other part, well, they probably figured he was a liability because, you know, in softball, you're not allowed to lead off. They probably would have thought that for sure he's on first base.
Ball start.
He's gone. Yeah, the ball leaves the pitcher's hand and he's gone.
That's good. Danielle Hunter was at batting practice, but he didn't play in the game. He wasn't there for the game. So I don't know. He lives here locally, so I don't know if he maybe has, you know, kids that had a game or something like that. But he was in the building and then he didn't play in the game.
He's doing my strategy for golf tournaments, which is I show up to the dinner the night before.
Yes.
And I partake, you know, in honoring the importance of the cause and the roast beef. So he probably was doing that, like coming for the fun stuff and then get out before the real work
begins. That's the best way to do a golf tournament for sure.
Yeah.
Guys who will be the best player in their slow pitch softball league someday. Shane Leckler looked like Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the home run derby. Like he destroyed in the home run derby. There was a point where he hit like six straight bombs, and they weren't cheapies either, man.
He's an old school bar athlete, I think. You could probably I bet foosball, darts, golden tee. I bet pretty much anything he's good at. Just like it was, you know, he can play quarterback, he can punt the hell out of the ball. He's a renaissance athlete, whatever the hell that would be.
And he was probably, condition-wise, he didn't look horrible or anything like that, but compared to the other legends, those guys are in good shape right now. For guys who've been out of the game for a while now, they were, you know, it was, by and large, those guys in really good shape. It was cool to see Antonio Smith. We hadn't seen him in a long, long time. He was there.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah,
Ninja.
The ninja made it out. He's big, but he's not like, you know, you look at him and go, fuh. You know, he's not 400 pounds or anything like that.
Right. I mean, how is he at softball?
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, he probably would have fit in better on the current Texans team than the. He's one of the few legends who didn't pop in terms of softball. The other ones who did, Case Keenum, although he was on the current Texans team, T.J. Yates, really good. If you're a quarterback coach for Atlanta,
right? For Michael Penix. Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans, very good. I don't know if people know, but D'Amico is a really good high school baseball player, I'm told.
Yeah, he's a catcher, right?
Yep. Yeah. And he loves baseball, so he was really good. And then JJ was excellent. He was really, really good. Injury observations. Titus Howard, Seth. This was a big one for Brandon and I as we're watching and figuring.
Yeah.
We're going, okay, Titus Howard is suited up. Let's just let him play catcher so he just stands there and catches and throws it back to the mound. Titus played right field for a little bit.
Okay.
Titus was running hard down the baseline on ground balls.
Okay.
Now, he did get on base at one point, and they had a pinch runner for him. So my guess is that they were taking it somewhat easy on him in terms of running. But we should remind people, Titus Howard got hurt in like week 11 or 12 last year.
Yeah.
Like a really bad knee injury where there had been speculation right out of the chute that he might, you know, we don't know if he's going to be ready for training camp. It was that bad. He was moving very well, Titus Howard, in this game.
That's good, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, even though, and moving well and then comfortable enough to go out and play in a extracurricular activity, I guess. You know,
yeah.
if he were still that concerned about his rehab, he wouldn't be out there in a charity softball event, except for maybe like being a DH with a pinch runner or something like that.
The truth will be at OTAs. You know, is he working out with the guys or is he on a side field doing stuff or whatever? They did the Whataburger race at one point. You know, with the that they do at the Texans games where one guy slips on the bottom of the bun and then the other guy's got to run and throw the burger and then run back and throw the lettuce and then run back and put the other bun on and then...
Did they have Cecil Shorts commentating?
They did. He wasn't there, Cecil. No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No. Drew Doherty is who they had.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Drew did a good job.
Basically the same guy.
Same guy. Drew Doherty, Cecil Shorts. You can never tell the two apart. For the love of God... Okay, somebody needed to step in. I don't need Jimmy Ward doing the Whataburger costume races.
Yeah.
I don't need Jimmy Ward, he of the hamstring and the quad and the ankle. I don't need him running. I definitely don't need him being the one that's doing all the running in this thing, let alone him doing the nesty plunge on top of one of his teammates while wearing a hamburger bun.
Yeah, and then don't people plunge on top of him too? Or was he the
top? He was the top bun. Yeah, he was the top bun. It was the running that was scaring me a little bit. So, yeah. Koa threw out the first pitch. JJ's one-year-old son.
How'd he do that?
Well, I was hoping he'd do it from the mound.
Yeah.
But apparently he needs his daddy to hold him while he's doing it. Softest one-year-old ever. JJ held him, you know, like you'd hold a one-year-old and handed the ball to Koa. And kind of flipped the ball towards him. If it was a regular first pitch, I'd give him a D+. But adjusted for age, I'd give him an A-. It was a good job.
Okay, good.
Good job by Koa. Good job by Koa.
I could cut this video up and send that to him for when he's three or four. Once he really starts understanding human language, to hear local shock jock tearing him down on his first pitch.
That's right. That'll
fuel him. This is what you're getting into, son. Both your parents are athletes. There's a good chance. These days, it seems like half the players in the NFL are the sons of other NFL players. So this will be his first dose of reality.
Oh, Koa held the ball and JJ threw Koa across the plate. I know someone's asking that as a question mark. No, he let him flip the ball towards home plate. Last thing, Stephon Diggs did make it out to the game, as I mentioned. There was a picture of Stephon that the J.J. Watt Foundation posted. It was J.J., it was Andre Johnson, and D'Amico Ryans, and Stephon Diggs sitting in, you know, kind of in between the three of them, you know?
Yeah.
And the caption on the photo, it looks like you're looking at the photo right now. So,
right, yeah.
It says, just a couple Texans with kind of a happy emoji. And there's four of them there. Stephon looks a little like he's being forced to sit in that picture right now.
Well, he looks like the kid in the picture, too.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, he's the youngest there.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, D'Amico might have, like, the face with the fewest lines on it.
Yeah.
But he still looks like D'Amico Ryans, who's a guy, you know, approaching his 40s, in his 40s.
Yep.
We're in Andre, I think Stephon just looks like a little kid there.
That might have been
that didn't want to take the photo.
Might have been after the game, too. I would have been looking that way if I just lost 14-1 in softball. Apparently, according to some Buffalo folks on Twitter that replied to some Stephon Diggs tweets this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll get to Diggs and his tweets a little later on in the 8 o'clock hour. Diggs did not go to Micah Hyde's softball game when he was a Buffalo Bill. Micah Hyde had a charity softball game, yeah.
Was that a point of contention?
Yeah, like 2 weeks into being a Texan, there he is playing second base at J.J. Watt's softball game.
Oh, yeah, like, that's right. Yeah.
J.J. Watt's good enough for you to go play in his softball game, but you can't go play in Micah Hyde's softball game. Your teammate, your actual teammate. J.J.'s not even a teammate. He's just a legend of the team that he plays on.
He's going now. His coach... I don't know if Sean McDermott was playing in the Micah Hyde one, but I wonder if when he found out that D'Amico was playing, if that's a little bit of extra incentive. Not that he's in danger of losing his job because of it or anything.
No, but that's a good point. little FaceTime with the coach. So there you go. Those are my observations on the J.J. Watt softball game. Great event overall. A-plus, J.J.
I like D'Amico's got a scar on his shin that looks to me a lot like back in the day when we used to have plyometric boxes that were made out of plywood instead of the fancy new manufactured ones they have
catch
now.
Him.
When you were trying to really go for like the highest jump you could, if you missed, you'd leave some skin on the corner of the box. I feel like he might have been trying for like a 5-foot box jump at some point in his life.
Yeah, he does. You're right. He got gash there on his calf.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get to, let's acknowledge some people from this past weekend and such. I'm going to start, you know what, I'm going to acknowledge Shane Lechler one more time.
Acknowledge
When
me.
I say he was putting on a display, he was putting on a display. Possible descendant of Babe Ruth. Shane Lechler at the Home Run Derby at the J.J. Watt Charity Classic. Let's get to actual baseball slash softball, I suppose. John Singleton.
Acknowledge me!
I want to acknowledge John Singleton. And Seth, you've pointed this out many times. Like, he just looks freer and looser since they sent Jose Abreu packing to where is he? West Palm Beach?
Yeah.
With rookies
supposedly.
Right now? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they let him decompress for a couple days with his family. Like, that was... Okay. Anyways,
we
I'm not...
see if we could... Yeah,
this isn't about Abreu. I don't want to make it about Abreu. I'm in a good mood today. But John Singleton, thanks to you, John Singleton, first base doesn't feel like the barren wasteland of suck that it's been the entire season.
It's led me already to be like, why is Trey Cabbage even up here? Yeah. All right, this was there was going to be some kind of a committee approach at first base.
Dubon, and now,
yeah, John Singleton just said like, nah, I got this.
Yep.
We're cool. So this would be as we talked about last week. Before he, well, 2 weeks ago, it's already a really good story. Just the fact that he came back and was able to play in the majors at all and had a big key moment in the ALCS, and yet maybe everything has fizzled out and that's it. Man, giving him the chance to just be the guy, so far so good. It's been really cool.
Really cool. He has maybe the best bat flip on the team. I know he probably shouldn't. Like, he probably needs to get his OPS consistently over 800 before he should be flipping the bat the way that he does after home runs, but boy. He has a nice bat flip after home runs.
It's a respectful bat flip.
It
is. Like authoritative, but it's not like he's showing up the pitcher or anything like that.
That's true.
It's just it's a very quick and aggressive bat flip.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. So John Singleton, we acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge Kendrick Perkins.
Acknowledge.
Big Perk has some good lines on the NBA coverage. This might be one of the best ones. The Sixers got knocked out of the playoffs last week by the Knicks. And I know this from going to a Sixers game back in March and talking to some people. And I know that Tobias Harris, for a guy who got a near max deal a few years ago, he has not lived up to that deal and certainly didn't live up to that deal in the elimination game for the Sixers. Kendrick Perkins dropped a great line on Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris, let him walk. I mean, damn, He asked them if they wanted something from Chick-fil-A before the game. The team told him yes, and he came back with a bag full of napkins and straws. I mean, he was just a no-show out there.
I love that.
At first, I thought he was telling a true story. I was like, yeah, you got to get rid of him for that. What the hell? And then at first, Sean, I thought you were about to give an acknowledgement to Kendrick Lamar. And I'm like, oh boy, let me see you synopsize this one.
No, I can't.
For people that don't know, because I'd love it. I need it.
No.
I've watched two synopses, whatever, of the Kendrick Lamar diss track of Drake. And I can't follow all of these grudges, man.
I'm looking for it's onto my radar now where I need a synopsis of this thing.
Just Google it.
Did you find a good one?
It's going to take reps. No, I told you. I've watched twice, and okay. I still don't. I can't keep track of everything.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of, I guess it was so good because a lot of it was really subtle or just like references that not everybody would get. So you really need to get out the old internet on this
one.
Okay,
gotcha. The old interwebs.
Yeah,
yeah. I would say this: if Tobias Harris came back with just a bag full of the honey roasted barbecue sauce packets, I would give him another Max deal. That's a delicious condiment. The honey roasted, the one, the kind of orange colored one in the little packets there. It's got a little smoky taste.
You would just eat it straight.
You could if you wanted to, but I put it on everything. You know, like I get extra packets of it, and I put it on burgers at home and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really. It tastes almost like the Chick-fil-A sauce that you can buy at Kroger or any of your local grocery outlets, but it's got like just a little extra honey smoky taste to it. It's very good. Tobias Harris, if you just brought back a bag of those, you'd have been good with me.
I don't put sauce on. I never get the sauce on any of my fast food stuff just because it's too tempting to. If I'm trying to eat while I drive or something, there's going to be honey mustard, some in various seams, both on me and on the upholstery.
Little messy.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk more about the Tom Brady roast in the 9 o'clock hour. It was excellent. I'm going to acknowledge the roast first.
The roast was
great. Watch the whole thing. I'm going to acknowledge he wasn't the funniest. But I thought he was the funniest for the spot he was put in and for what my expectations were. Drew Bledsoe.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge Drew Bledsoe. Of course, Drew Bledsoe, the quarterback that Tom Brady replaced back in 2001. Bledsoe goes out with an injury that put him in the hospital. Damn near killed him, the injury that he got. When he had his ribs broken, he was bleeding in his lungs. He's coughing up blood. And naturally, Bill Belichick used that as an opportunity to replace him. With Tom Brady, and we know that the rest is history. Bledsoe, Seth, had to go. He was the first non-comedian to go in this thing, and he went right after Kevin Hart did the open, and Kevin Hart really, and Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General, the guy who's, he's the king of roasts, they went first and second in this thing.
Yeah.
And Drew Bledsoe had to follow the two of them, and they were both excellent, obviously. And they kind of established clearly for the audience who'd not seen a roast before what the bar is for this kind of thing.
Yeah, like family is not off limits whatsoever. There was nothing off limits here,
Aaron,
other than one weird moment where Tom Brady told Jeff Ross not to tell another Bob Kraft joke, right?
Yep. There was a massage parlor joke by Jeff Ross, and Brady went up and whispered into his ear that was it for the Kraft jokes, and that was that.
Yeah, the billionaire needs protection. Don't pick on the billionaire. They're America's most favorite. Go die.
We're not acknowledging Robert Kraft here. We'll acknowledge Drew Bledsoe. Bledsoe did a phenomenal job, I thought, for what I was expecting. He brought up a little glass of wine up there, got in a pitch for his winery. He was sipping wine in between each of his jokes. Sipping wine with his pinky out, not cracking a smile between all of his jokes. So he had that good roast vibe going on. There's very few things that we can play from the roast that don't put extra work in for Ben and having to bleep it 6 million times or get us canceled by playing it. This was a pretty good line by Drew Bledsoe towards the end of his spot here.
So, hey, look, buddy, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. The feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Pretty good. A lot on Brady's marriage. A lot of jokes just painting him as a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
It was as much a roast about Gronk as it was a roast about Brady. Every single person went up there with at least 2 minutes of Gronk material about him being stupid.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd, because I've seen like maybe a half hour of this thing. It was 3 hours long.
3 hours.
I was wondering whether it would be a half hour or 1 hour. And I went to watch it this morning because I figured I'd pull a few jokes from it. I got through like Nikki Glaser and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Just jumping around. Because it's 3 hours with no commercials.
Yeah, no commercials.
So this is like a 4.5 hour network television show.
If they had commercials in it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And I thought, Seth, Amy and I watched the whole thing. And I thought when we got to about the sixth or seventh act, I mean, there were damn near 15 people that took the stage in this thing, that it would get stale, and it didn't. We were laughing the whole time, man. There were lulls. Ben Affleck was terrible. He was awful. He was by far the worst.
Was it fun to watch him be bad, though?
I mean, honestly, it was towards the end. He was one of the last ones to go. I'm like, all right, can we just get to Brady now? And Brady had a good set at the end. Delivery was probably like a B-, but the jokes were really, really good.
Yeah.
And he stood there and took it for 2.5 hours, so there's a sliding scale for him, you know? I want to circle back to Bledsoe, though. This was the intro to the roast. They did a little skit. Belichick, Bledsoe, and Brady, a little skit to lead into the opening credits on the roast.
Great seeing you again. This is a big night. The fans want you. Everyone wants you. But it's not your night. Sorry, Drew. Brady.
Yeah, coach.
You're in. Let's go.
Let's go. Are you f***ing kidding me? Again?
That's pretty good. And Drew Bledsoe was a good sport. He took a... he didn't take nearly as much as Gronk or Brady or Belichick or Aaron Hernandez posthumously. But this was Nikki Glaser, really funny female comedian. She had a great set. She went pretty early in the night, too. And really, I think she was the first of the non-Kevin Hart, non-Jeff Ross comedians to go. Like, of the 3 or 4 or 5 stand-ups that they brought in to do a set. She was the first one of them to go, and she killed it. This was her on Drew Bledsoe.
But let's get to the reason we're all here tonight. Drew Bledsoe. Drew bled so Tom could run. But Drew, I'm going to move on from you just like your team did after you almost died.
That's pretty good. We have more from her later. Her lines on Gronk. Oh, God, I can't wait to get to that later.
She had some good lines on Gronk, and she went in hard on the Giselle's new boyfriend and everything.
Yeah. A lot of jiu-jitsu and karate jokes.
I couldn't keep some of it in there that was, jokes traffic. About like what that jiu-jitsu instructor was doing to Giselle. And yeah.
It was good, man. It was good. If you got Netflix, go find it. It was worth it. So that's Acknowledge Me. We acknowledge the great performances from the weekend. All right. A little more love from the convert. Colin Convert is what we're going to call him. He's got his order of finish in the AFC South, Colin Cowherd. We've got that for you in another Cowherd take that actually makes me a little bit angry about the Texans. That's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I like to think he's a full convert now. We play his audio quite a bit on this show. His producer is a native Houstonian, Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd's producer, Greg Tuohy, friend of the show. Yeah. Shout out to Greg.
Colin Cowherd's not a native Houstonian.
He's not.
I think he's from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, he wishes he was. Here's Colin Cowherd giving his stack rankings of the AFC South post-draft.
AFC South. This is now a good division. We've rolled our eyes at it for years. Get out of that. Tennessee stinks. Everybody else is good. I'm going to go Houston. I love what they've done with personnel the last two drafts and free agency. I think they've just hit it out of the park. I mean, they've done like Green Bay level stuff in the draft last 2 years. Excellent. Jags, and it will be a fight to the finish. I love getting Brian Thomas. Their weapons with Trevor Lawrence and an offensive coach are substantial. So I'm going to have the Colts 3. I like the Colts. I worry greatly about Anthony Richardson's playing style. Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud sit in the pocket. I don't worry about that. Anthony Richardson is so dynamic, and I like this Colts team. Is he going to miss 3 or 4 starts? That could be the difference. Easiest pick in the league, Titans for 4th. I don't know if Will Levis is going to work or not. I just roster, personnel. I like the new coach they have.
He's where I am on tennis. I think Tennessee is going to be one of the worst teams in the league. The thing he said at the beginning, Seth, do you agree with where he said that the AFC South is no longer a division you roll your eyes at, that the Texans, the Colts, and the Jags are all good football teams? Do you agree with that? Do you think those all three? I think the Texans are a good football team. I don't know if the Jags and Colts are good football teams necessarily.
Well, I think the Colts, the Colts almost made the playoffs last year. By winning the division.
Yeah.
So if you're making the argument the division's good because of these teams, then I think that it's just exactly what he said about Anthony Richardson. I don't know that they're actually better with Anthony Richardson than they were with Gardner Minshew. Just because we've got such a limited sample size, and the Texans got the full brunt of the young athletic quarterback version of Anthony Richardson, where before there's any film and before you know exactly what a guy's strengths and weaknesses are as a quarterback, he just destroyed the Texans with his legs in the first quarter of that game, destroyed them. And yet, that's not the only thing that, makes a team good over the course of 17 games. And can he stay healthy? I think that the Colts, if I had to look at it without any, I'm not trying to be biased about this or I'm not letting my personal feelings about the citizens of Indiana affect this at all. I can't expect that Anthony Richardson is going to A, stay healthy for an entire season, and B, be consistently accurate.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably better with Gardner Minshew last year than they will be this year with Anthony Richardson.
I think it's a more interesting division than it's been in a long time because of the quarterbacks. I do think that I think a lot of times the AFC South, people rolled their eyes at it, is not only were the teams not good, there was nothing interesting about them. Tennessee mucking it along with a bunch of bad, I'm just going through the last decade, a bunch of bad quarterbacks, then Mariota, who was a name but wasn't very good, then Tannehill, who had one good season and then kind of drifted off after that, and then they were winning a division that had bad teams in it. We know what the Texans looked like until C.J. Stroud got here. In between C.J. and Deshaun, that period, Jacksonville's been Jacksonville. Indianapolis has been cycling through quarterbacks. I think it's a more interesting division. I just, to me, top to bottom, the AFC North, to me, that's a good division. Baltimore is a legit Super Bowl contender. Cincinnati, if Burrow's healthy, legit Super Bowl contender. If Deshaun Watson is average for Cleveland this year, they're probably going to win 10 or 11 games. And then, the Steelers are the worst team in that division, and they're above 500 every year for the last decade and a half. A good division to me.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that you look at any of the preseason predictions. How many of them have the Colts or the Titans being a team that they expect to go to a championship game?
Yeah, zero.
Or not the Titans, but the Jaguars.
Jags, yeah.
I think the Jaguars, so much of it boils down to, all right, how much was Trevor Lawrence damaged by his first year with Urban Meyer? And then how much could Doug Peterson improve him in his third year with with Doug Peterson. Because at the end of the first year, man, you saw some things start to click, but a lot of that just fell by the wayside last year. And I like some of the additions they've made in the offseason, like some of the less heralded ones too, just like getting Mitch Morris as their center. But then also having Brian Thomas Jr. as a weapon for Trevor Lawrence. I feel like this is a genuine, okay, can we do it with Trevor Lawrence year? And how are we going to move forward after this? They might very well be in the market for a new quarterback after this year if Trevor Lawrence doesn't show improvement over what he did last
year. Can you imagine all five of those quarterbacks in the top 15 in that draft all onto other things?
Yeah, I just don't know. The more likely scenario is that they fire Doug Peterson. But, like, this is what, like, Doug Peterson does this. He has short, little, really competitive bursts with a quarterback, and then the guys just kind of fall by the wayside. I don't know whether it's Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, or maybe it ends up being Trevor Lawrence. He harnesses what they do well, really, really well. But when you try to move beyond that and develop them into a genuine NFL quarterback, it's not the same thing. So, yeah, it's a big year for both those guys.
So where does Colin Convert have the Texans in his herd hierarchy? He does his herd hierarchy periodically in the offseason, his top 10 teams in the NFL. They didn't land on the radar before the draft. Where are they post-draft?
Number 9.
I may have them under. I'm going to take Houston 9. I may be wrong. They may be higher than this. I just love the way they're run. I like their draft. I like their free agent signing. Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. The last 2 years in personnel, they've done as well as anybody in this league. I love what they're doing. Everything about it. I like the way they're coached, their quarterback, their front office. I like everything they're doing. I'll put them at 8 or 9, the Houston Texans.
Okay, he is the lowest of any of the power rankings that we've seen. Most of the power rankings have had the Texans anywhere from 8 up to 4.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like love, Colin.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like love one bit.
Tough love, at least, at best, I should say, is what...
Feels like you're telling me you love me, and then you're headed out on the town with a bunch of hussies.
Remember a year ago, less than a year ago, Cowherd did that segment where he took the quarterbacks who were drafted high in the 2023 draft.
Right.
And which one has the best and which one has the least chance of success as a rookie.
Right. Yeah.
And CJ was the clear-cut least chance because he had no talent around him. They were poorly run. Weird owner, defensive, he said. He said weird owner. Remember?
Weird owner. Yeah. Defensive-minded head coach.
Yep.
Did not like that one bit.
Yeah.
You know, despite the... Which is like, okay, you play the numbers. Yes, that does matter. They're like, you're more likely to have success with an offensive-minded head coach, except that the very best examples of quarterbacks from the past 20 years, more than half of them were playing for defensive-minded head coaches. So yeah. It's tough. It's tough to say something can't be done, but I guess if you're handicapping it.
I'm sure Colin, if he were here, would just go, yeah, I was wrong. yeah, I was wrong. They're good now. I give him credit for that, at least realizing he's wrong and they're actually a well-run football team now than trying to ride it into the ground as some sort of fluke that they went 10-7 in 2023. Some might
do
that.
Colin Cowherd was roommates with Jim McElwain at Eastern Washington University.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The football coach?
The football coach.
Okay.
The football coach who was accused of being the guy who was flopping on top of that dolphin in that boat.
Yeah. Okay.
In Florida. He claims it wasn't, but it looks exactly like Jim McElwain.
Okay.
That's my fantasy, is that Colin Cowherd was actually the one who took the picture.
Now I need to go back. Oh, jeez. Now I need to go back and see what his takes were on Florida football when McElwain was the coach there. See if there's any bias. Because they weren't good when McElwain got fired. Remember, he was the coach, I think, at Colorado State and then went to Florida and it didn't work out at Florida. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he just commented, if he stayed away from it.
Yeah.
He also played, he played quarterback for his high school football team.
Howard did?
Yeah, and he was an all-conference guard for the basketball team.
He looks kind of athletic. I mean, you know, he looks like he's in good shape. Cowherd has moved up the rankings for me, at least, you know, based on his coming around on the Texans. Nobody will ever top Mad Dog Russo, though, who I don't even know what this take was about, but he butchered another word in the English language here.
So the Sixers should have gone back to Philly 1-1, and the Knicks should have won last night, and they would have gone to Philly on Thursday up 3-2. Well, guess what? That's what it is. So I don't understand all this hullabah.
Hullabah?
Hullabah.
Hullabah.
I think you meant hullabaloo. Hullabah.
Oh, hullabah. All right.
Yeah.
I thought there was a guy named, like, you know, something close to that, or like a Polynesian guy or something.
No, no, no. Okay. He was talking about the hullabaloo, or as Mad Dog would call it, hullabah, as we know.
Hullabah.
He's had trouble with words before. Ben, we have
that Nickeldonian thing I could not get into.
Nickeldonian.
Trying to say Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nickeldonian. Yeah. I love Mad Dog.
I love the best part about him not getting the Nickeldonian thing was that he didn't realize. It seemed like he didn't realize it was for kids. Like, he was like, that did not appeal to me.
He was a 67-year-old man. He was talking about the NFL broadcast on Nickelodeon, for those of you.
Right, on the Nickelodeon. Yeah. But, like, his complaints about it were everything that just made it for children.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like,
There's a slime on the field. They had a 12-year-old as a sideline reporter.
That's like, yeah. It's like I just couldn't get into this Etch-A-Sketch. I don't know why they gave me the choice between reading 50 Shades of Grey or playing with this Etch-A-Sketch, and I don't know. I didn't get the Etch-A-Sketch.
Nickeldonian yeah. Hullabah. Oh, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get you guys up to speed. The 8-8. What did J.J. Watt say at the charity softball game this weekend that got everybody talking? What are the Astros going to do now that they're 12-22? We will get into all that and a whole lot more. The 8-8 coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.